Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. We apologize. We are having a little bit of technical difficulty. We're hoping that you will bear with us. We will try this again. We have got a very, very important show today, and for some reason, we are having problems. That's usually the case when it's a very important interview, and we have a new switchboard, which we are not used to how it works, but if you'll bear with us, this podcast will be recorded. And I see one of our hosts is on. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diana. This is very exciting.
It is, and we're having difficulties. And you know how that sometimes works? We've got an awesome guest, and, you know, things just doesn't work right, but that's okay. We're going to get together, and I think I see him right now. I see his number.
Great.
Hi, Luca. Are you on?
Yep. I managed to get
back. Oh, God bless you. Well, Miss Barbara, me and Luca had been having a conversation for about 10 minutes before I realized that for some reason the show was not on. It was a very good conversation. Luca was doing a great job of introducing himself, and I've already prayed. But thank God he did make me notice the fact that the on-air button was not on, so something is wrong. But anyway, we apologize, but this has got to be a really great conversation. That's all I can say. When the devil's trying to mess it up, you know it's got to be good.
True.
So
yeah, you know.
We're so glad that you're on. This is Barbara Moore, and it is such
Hi,
a pleasure to meet you and have you on the radio show. And we are so excited to hear all about what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Well, look, I'm going to let Miss Barbara introduce. She always does a fantastic job of introducing our guests. But if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, would you do the introduction?
I'd love to, Diana. I would so like to know, though, the pronunciation of your last name. Is it Bochy?
Yeah. That's correct.
Oh, great, great. Okay.
Yep.
Well, we have Luca Bochy, who is the national spokesperson of the Tea Party Italia, and that is a coalition of several Tea Party groups there in Italy that since May 2008 2010, have been working to promote the Tea Party vision. And I love this, the vision, the Tea Party vision. And I love it put just that way, and I only added one word to it. A Tea Party vision of a world with less government, less regulations, less taxes, more freedom, and liberty and justice for all. And Luca is a journalist, and he has worked for several national newspapers, and he's worked as a professional translator and international trade advisor. And it all sounds very, very interesting, and it also sounds like that is a really, really good background for being the national spokesperson for the coalition of tea parties in Italy. And then, Luca, I also understand that that there's a working with an international group of tea parties as well.
Yep. Actually, it is. It's been an ongoing process since, I think, well, last year. We've been trying to put together all different groups that are springing up all over the world because, you know, the problems that we face are universal. So government overreach and the voracity of politicians that want to grab as much power and money and control yeah. over our lives, it's universal. So everybody's going to stand up some way or another. Unfortunately, it's been slightly more complicated than we thought because, you know, being proactive persons, we thought, yes, we're going to go out and everybody's going to agree. I mean, we're all tea partiers, so we should be on the same page all the time. Unfortunately, that's not exactly it, because every country has got different issues, it's got different priorities, and so I think it's pretty much the same situation you see in America, where you have thousands of Tea Party groups, and they don't really get along with each other sometimes, because they have different vision, they have different priorities. Some of them, they are just all for fiscal responsibility and stuff. Others, they are, you know, trying to just push something further. So they want to, you know, go back
right.
to the Constitution, and they want to just, you know, fighting the culture war. And so that's where, you know, you're not on the same page. Add to that the linguistic problems. So, for example, you have a tea party in Japan, in Tokyo, and kind of none of them speaks very good English, and none of us all over the world speaks good Japanese. So we're kind of having some problems communicating with them. But, you know, I think that in the end we'll make it because, you know, our themes are universal. And so we should try and collaborate with each other because we are carrying on the same fight pretty much, all for our own country. So we have to stay local. We have to look at our problems because, yeah, I mean, the UK doesn't really have the same problems that Italy has, but some of them, they are common. Some of them, they are very different. So we need to be independent because people are really afraid of anything that is supranational because they all go to the UN and we don't really want to build another UN, don't we?
That's
so
right.
It's more than enough, the one we have. So if we can get rid of it, it would be even better,
yeah.
but, you know, one step at a time. So that's
well,
right,
know,
and we have... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say, Ms. Barbara and Luke, you know, one of the interesting things I learned about doing websites is, you know, that you have now the Google Translators, and what I'll try to do with this show, which I've not been able to do with the others, but I'll try this one because I know the language is a barrier. I will try to post some of your comments, Luca, on our website, www.cityonhill.tv. And on the side is a little language translator that, you know, will redo the page over in whatever language that you mark.
Yeah.
And I think,
yes,
you know, that might help a little bit. I'll try to write that in.
The problem is that we are trying to have direct communication. So, for example, with the guys in Australia, because the Australian Tea Party is, you know, pretty big. They're doing a huge fight against carbon tax. They are really, really making an impact because they managed to have a coalition of conservative groups that are fighting together against the liberal government. And so they wanted to have direct communication. They want to speak with us on the phone, because if you start circulating documents, you know, it's not exactly safe. You know, lots of people in the world that really, really, really hate the Tea Party and all that it stands for. So we're trying to just go on the safe side. So that's why we kind of prefer to talk. Because, you know, if you start doing emails, we find that in our office every day, if you start going back and forth with emails, it will waste a lot of time. Sometimes it's much better to talk, you know, with each other and solve problems straight away. That's where we are having some problems. But then, for example, the guys in the Netherlands, they are really against, you know, the European Union. They really have a priority for that. And most of other countries, they don't feel that it's the most urgent problem. They are for fiscal, you know, responsibility and other stuff. So that's where going together and finding common ground and finding initiatives to just carry on together becomes complicated. And
well, it
so
seems
consider
like,
that. Go ahead.
It seems like being in the European Union itself would make it more complicated, because each country would have less, the people would have less authority over their lives. I mean, I'm just looking at it from the outside, and it seems that way. It seems like Tea Party people would want more sovereignty and more authority.
You know. Yes, I completely agree. But this is a very touchy issue in some countries, especially Italy, because in every single time there is an opinion poll and they ask people, are you for the European Union or not? Pretty much 70 to 75% of Italians, they answer, yes, we're for it. Because actually there has been no public discussion about it. So there was no referendum. So the people were not even asked if they want to get into the European Union, because the politicians, you know, like they usually do, they pretty much lied. And they said, Europe
is going
to be lovely. Yeah, it's going to be lovely. They're going to give you so much money. And so people in Italy think about the European Union as a place where you get money. They actually don't know that they're paying for it. It's their VAT. And this is something that people don't realize. So the first issue that we have is the fact that people really don't know what is going on. I mean, just today, some friends of ours, we saw on the website of the Bastiat Institute in, I think it's in France, and there is also another one in America, where they made some calculations about, you know, the public debt, public deficit, public spending, and so on. And because they said, the numbers are so fuzzy, everybody has got their own opinion, but, you know, numbers are important, because if you don't have the numbers, how can you discuss about anything that's substantial? So they just put down the numbers, and it was very simple. They say, big numbers, really big numbers, and they say, well, these numbers are too big. Let's shrink them down and put them in, you know, a size that actually you can understand. So let's talk about the government, the federal government of the United States, as if it were a family. So this is your family budget. This is how much you earn. This is what are your assets. This is your debt, and this is actually how much they have cut with the recent budget. And they found out. And if you see the numbers in front of you, you think, really? That's all? It means it seems like yes, you've been adding something like $10,000 or more to your credit card debt, and then you have a family meeting and you decide that you're going to cut from your annual budget something like $200, and you think that's not nearly enough. So
right.
big numbers they are used to obfuscate the mind of people, because they when you start to talk about trillions, people are saying, what is a trillion? A million is plenty for me. So they don't really know exactly what it's all about. When they're saying, we've been cutting $200 billion from the federal budget, and then they think, that's a lot. Well, not really, because if you think about the current debt, it's something like $16 trillion. So 16,000. So I'm wondering, that's why they're using $1 trillion. Because if they were talking about $1 billion, people would realize it would really be, you know, self-evident. If you say our deficit is something like 16, you know, our public debt is $16,000 billion, and you're cutting 200, so people will realize that it's really nothing, and you need to do something much more substantial. Well, we have been doing the same things for Italy, because on the newspapers, on the TV, on the radio, nobody ever talks about numbers. They're always talking about, he said this, they say that, he's good, he's bad, he's worse than the other guy, so vote for him. That's not the way. That's not the way to solve the problems. We need to just find a common ground and say, this is the situation, what are we going to do about it? So we have been doing that, and this is really the core of our fight, just reminding people of the problems and telling them, you know, there are solutions. If you want, you could balance the budget. Really, it would be really easy. But unfortunately, special interests don't really want that, because they are making so much money out of our taxes, and they don't want that. So that's why they are controlling the media. And this is,
right.
You know, the real core of the issue is that people do not have clear information about stuff. And they know nothing about history, and they know nothing about morals, and they know nothing about lots of other stuff. So that's why the core of the issue is media. But then you have to find ways to just go back to grassroots and start organizing to make the change, to be the change. So that's why we have to do so many things at once. That's why we feel that sometimes we are pretty overwhelmed, because see that the ship is... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Well, I just, you know, we titled the show "Is Truth Important to the World Over?" And I'm hearing you, and that is, but what is being withheld from the citizens is the truth that, hey, we need to really, you know, cut back, because we do owe a lot of money. As you're saying, the statistics are not being put out there. And Ms. Barbara, you know, it sounds to me like our story all over again. And you know, I was reading something where they're wanting to move to a federated Europe. And I'm thinking, I think of the story, Ms. Barbara, that we've been told about Horatio Bunce. You know, over here in America, we have overdone the federal thing, you know, all these states together into one union. Unfortunately, it's too much power when you've got corrupt leadership. And I know that's what you're, you know, in the long run, it's going to be a fear. It sounds good to, you know, we've got to unite, we've got to have a common currency and all that. But then down the road, if it's not on the right foundation, you're going to end up with the same problem that, well, you're having now and we have here. And now Rick Perry is a signal for us that of, you know, what you've got to have really, and I'm sure that's what the Tea Party is trying to do, is find the right leaders.
Yeah, well, that is important, but it's not as important as, you know, changing the basic of the system, because the system right now is literally based on a culture of dependency. So people are not taught when they are in primary school to be self-sufficient. They're always thinking, oh yeah, the government will help, oh, the government will do this, oh, the government will do that. So it's right that it's taking 70% of what I earn, because this is the number. People do not realize
70?
That, but in Italy, 70%. 70% of what we earn is managed by the government. And we don't even
see what thieves and robbers they are.
Yeah, really.
Oh,
but they're calling it with so many different names, because not all of it is taxes, mind you. Because otherwise people would get really mad and say, my God, you're taking $7 out of every $10 I earn, that's robbery. But they're not calling that. They're saying, oh, this is for the public pension system. This is for public health care. This is for, you know, all kinds of good things. And so people do not realize how much they're being taken away. Because, you know, on your paycheck, you don't see the full number. So you don't know exactly how much you earn. Because the government is, you know, they've been really clever with that. Because you have no idea exactly how much do you earn, because for example, for the public pension system, you find in your paycheck that you're paying something like earn 2,000, you pay something like 400. And it seems fair. But actually, that's not the whole sum, because actually double of what you see in your paycheck has been paid by your employer. But that is your money. It's not the employer's money. So it's not like a payroll tax. It's your money. It's your salary. So you never see the full salary, because that part is being withheld by the employer itself. So this is, people do not realize that actually 70% of what they earn is taken away from them, because they never have the full picture. That's why,
right.
For example, there is one business owner in the northeast of Italy that said, I'm not going to do this because the government is not paying me to just be a tax collector. So I will give all the money that the people, that my workers earn, I will give them all the money, lump sum, and then they will manage things by themselves. And obviously the government was not happy at all. They sued him. They dragged him into court. And obviously after 2 years, because, you know, trials take forever in Italy, and so they decided that he was wrong, and they should have taken the money from the workers. But the really, really, really good part was, you know, the explanation of the sentence. Because I don't know, I'm not really familiar with the American system, but in Italy, if you have a sentence, you know, after a court hearing, you will need to provide them with a very long explanation of all the basis, legal system, and so on. And the explanation was ludicrous. We made them read to a law professor, and it was 70 pages long. So the longer the documents, you know, the bigger the fraud. That's what we say, you know, most of the times. So if you spend 10,000 words to say something that is very simple, it means that you want to, you're not really truthful. So you're spreading lies. And he said that in the end, the judge was saying, yes, this business owner is perfectly right. But if we do that, the whole government will collapse, and so he's wrong. And I said, that's not justice.
Well,
and they said, yeah, we don't care. We don't care. We are right. We have the power. We're using the power. That's why we need a revolution. We need it really bad.
Well, Luca, in the United States, the government was not permitted to take any of our income away from us until 1913, and when the 16th Amendment to the Constitution was passed. Before that time, it was not allowed. And the respect for private property was required. We required that of our government, to respect our private property. And the foundation of that belief was biblical. The Ten Commandments, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, and that presupposes that your neighbor has something to steal, and you have something. It the respect for private property was foundational, and throughout the Constitution, that was a principle of freedom that we guarded until 1913, when progressives and liberals got into places of power to change things and transform America. And so the income tax, the 16th Amendment was passed, which allowed the government to begin taking away from the mouth of labor the bread it had earned, as Thomas Jefferson said years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the government said, we will never take beyond believe it was 1% of someone's income. Well, we should have known
because
better.
It's always like that. They always start
because
very
if they
small.
Have
yeah,
the right
they
to take,
very small.
Yeah, if they have the right to take, if we give them the right to take any of our income, then they have basically the right to take all of it. So it has increased dramatically over the years until we're now at about 50% between all the taxation of permits and everything. It's about 50%, and every American has to work 6 months of the year for the government before they ever work for themselves. And it is, but you know, Luca, we have gotten so far away from our founding principles and passing the knowledge of it on from generation to generation. We have neglected to teach our young people, and basically in the 20th century, we failed to pass the knowledge along from generation to generation. And so people here in America today don't realize that the basis of the right of property and respect for private property is not only constitutional, it's biblical. That was the basis upon which we formed, our government. And we're trying at this point, and this is what Diana and I do a lot, is we're trying at this point to just share what we learn about that. And we go back as much as we can to our biblical foundation, and so we'll grow in understanding about how all this works and why it should work the way it, and what are the results of it, these principles of freedom and so forth.
Yeah.
Barbara, can I mention just
whole,
a little bit?
The whole situation.
I'm sorry, Luca. You had mentioned something about work, and I wanted to tell us about the status of, you know, employment, unemployment in your country, and in Europe. But, you know, the scripture says that if you don't work, you don't eat. And here in America, you know, when the founding fathers came here, they tried communism. They tried it, you know, trying to give everybody a piece of this without having to, you know, some people just started getting lazy and wouldn't work. And it failed right at the beginning of this nation.
James
but Brown. That's biblical. But go ahead and tell us about work and what is going on with the young people there.
Oh, boy. There's a lot going on. Actually, the whole idea is just that, if you're in, you're overprotected. So if you are a full-time, employee and you are, in a union and stuff like that, you are overprotected. So actually, your employer cannot fire you in any way possible or imaginable. Obviously, this puts the whole labor market in huge problems because, obviously, if you hire someone and then you cannot fire him, that means that, obviously, if there is a downturn, you're in trouble. So that's why people are not hiring. And people do not understand that all the problem with employment in most of continental Europe is due to the fact that the labor market is so strict. And so because they're saying, workers need to be protected by greedy capitalists that want to exploit them. And they don't realize that this is really socialism at the basis. The whole culture is imbued by this socialist vision that think that everybody's bad and that capitalists, they are the problem because they are taking away the bread from the mouth of the workers. And I say, well, that was never it. That was never it. Because even at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, it was never like it. Because wages grow incredibly. So capitalism has been the greatest force of betterment for the world. And people do not realize that. Because it's never about the people. It's never about the poor. Because they are so worried about the poor. And they are so compassionate. But actually, when they say compassionate, they mean they want to take away your money and they want to take away your control over your actions. Because, in the end, they think you are too stupid. Why? Why should you have all the money? I should have it because I'm so smart. It's just like Mr. Codevilla said when he's talking about the political elite and the valedictocracy, so the so-called government of the better, the most educated and stuff. They think they're so smart, they should have all the power. They should have all the control because they think that everybody else is stupid. But actually, that's not it. They want to control everything because they want to take away your money and give it to their friends. You know, crony capitalists, special interests, it's all about that. In Europe, we see it a lot. But the problem is that people do not realize this. And they're always looking for the government to solve their problems. That's why we are... You're so desperate to get in touch with as many people as possible in order to explain them or to just to make them realize that actually they do not have any more freedom. They are nothing more than slaves because they cannot decide, okay, I want to have a private pension. No, you can't. You need to have public pension. But it's wasteful. There, I will never receive. So you were talking about young people in Italy and most other countries. Yes, I have been paying into the public pension system for, I don't know, 10 years. But I know, and all of the people of my generation, I'm 39, all of our generation, they know for a fact that we will not get public pension because the system is going to be bankrupt in 10 years. So we are still paying, and we cannot stop paying because it's mandatory. So we know that the health system, the socialized health system, the so-called free health system, is wasteful, is corrupt, is really expensive, is taking away 30% of the government budget. But we cannot opt out. We cannot say, well, I don't trust the government. I want to have my own private insurance. You can have your private insurance on top of what you already pay for the public pensions, for the public health system. So this is the point. You do not have power. You do not have control. You know, the founder of Tea Party Italia, David Mazzarelli, good friend of mine, said that we should not be treated as kids. We are grown people. By the time you're 25, you're 30, you should have control on your life. You should be the one, you know, calling the shots and saying, I want to do this. I want to spend all my money. Yes, but I know that I will be held responsible later on. I think that it's stupid. I think that if you earn $2,000 a month and you spend them all, I think it's reckless, but it's your problem. Obviously, when you're 60 and you don't have your nest egg and you don't have any money, you shouldn't be coming to my door and say, oh, please give me money, I'm hungry. No, no, that was your responsibility. You're responsible for your actions. This is the basis of the problem. People do not believe in, you know, personal responsibility anymore. They think that it's always someone else's fault. It's the culture. It's toxic. They've been taught since when they were kids, it's never their fault. You're in school. You have bad grades. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you don't work hard enough. It's someone else's fault. It's your mother's fault. It's, I don't know, the TV's fault. It's everybody else's fault but your own. This is really why we have such a huge fight to carry on, because we need to go to the very basis of society. We have to fight this culture of dependency, and we need to teach people that they are their masters of their own destiny. This is why most people do not want to hear it. Even young people in Italy, they were on the streets and they were protesting because, yes, I want more money, I want jobs. And I said, we talked with some of them, and we said, who is going to create these jobs? I don't know, the government. And they, well, you know, government is not really good at creating anything. It's just good at consuming your money.
That's right.
The capitalist system has got to create that. Government jobs,
wow,
they are really a waste of money because they are taking away resources from, you know, productive use. Because that's the way. They're saying, yes, but so the whole Keynesian theory of, you know, public spending.
That's
so
right.
We are in a recession, so we should have public spending. Even if we use it to, you know, dig ditches and then fill them up, it's productive. No, it's ridiculous because the money that goes there into paying the guy who is digging the ditch or the trench or whatever you want to call it is not the money is not going to the entrepreneur that wants to make a new company and paying good money to good people that are working there. So this is the whole point. We go back to Frédéric Bastiat. He wrote a very effective prose back in the 1850s. So it's not a new problem. He was saying that what you see is not the problem. The problem is what you do not see. He was talking about, you know, in France back then, there were people that were saying, oh, we got to give money to the arts because otherwise the theater would not be able to make, you know, any plays or opera and stuff. So it's good that the government gives them money from the public coffers. And so they take money from people to give them to the producers, actors, and so on, because, you know, they are working, they are earning money, so they are creating jobs. And Bastiat used to say, yes, this is what you see. What you don't see is the increasing taxes for the, I don't know, candle maker somewhere in the province, that he will not have enough money to build a new factory, and so he will not hire 10 people. So for every single public job that you add, you lose 10 jobs in the private sector. And this is what you don't see, because it's not direct. It's counterintuitive. So people do not see that. They only see, yes, the government is making something. Yeah, because right now, when there is a crisis, they always say to the politicians, do something, anything, solve the problem. Because this is what they have been taught since they were young. The government is good. The government is going to solve problems. I don't know where they are taking this thing, because if you look at history, government has never solved the thing. The private sector has always done that. People, individuals, this is where the solution lies. And that's our biggest fight, because we have to go to people that are waiting for somebody to solve their problems and say, well, straighten up, you know, up your chin, there you go, work harder, save more money, and do that. And that's not the message that they want to hear. But obviously, we will get there, because right now there is so much despair going on, especially with young people. I work in a company where most of the guys that I work with, they are in their late 20s, early 30s. And most of them, they come from other countries. So they either come from Spain, they come from Germany, they come from France, and so on. And they, when do you talk to them, sometimes the English guys, they are here, they are saying, why did you leave Spain? It's such a beautiful country. They have lovely weather and lovely food and so on. And they look at you with a, you know, blank expression on their face. They're just looking at you and saying, don't you think that if I were able to stay in my country, I would have stayed there? Of course I would. That's my house. That's my country. I would love to stay there, but there are no opportunities. Because the government is taking away so much money that the private sector is not able to create any jobs. So this is the point. Our fight is crucial, because if we manage to reduce public spending, then every entrepreneur, every private company will have more money to create jobs. And this will solve the problem. This will be, go ahead.
Yes, in everything you're saying, we agree with you completely, and you express it so beautifully. It reminded me of what George Washington said back in 1776, that the cause of America is the cause of all mankind, and that freedom and opportunity and justice and the dignity and value of every human being and the genius within us that God has placed there, that we're to have authority over it and responsibility for it. But I want to ask you, how did you learn all of this? Are there must be others, I know that you're teaching others, and others are coming, they're seeing for themselves the disastrous results of big government, and so they're listening and learning more too. And about how many?
Yeah, hopefully.
Are in your group?
Yeah, okay.
That
well,
feel this way.
Yeah. Well, I think pretty much everybody in this, in our group, especially in every Tea Party in Italy, it's based on the knowledge that, you know, we have to fight big government and we have to go back to basic. So we are absolutely pro-capitalist. I was talking, I think some months ago, I was making an interview with Rick Amato, which is a talk show host down in San Diego. And he was talking to me and he was really surprised by the fact that when he asked me, so you're pro-capitalist? And I said, well, of course we are. I mean, we're Tea Partiers. Tea Party and capitalism go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. And he was really surprised because he thought, oh, my God, I thought in Europe everybody was socialist and everybody was for the government and stuff. And I said, you know, this is the kind of thing that liberals in America want people to believe, that Europe is so progressive that everybody is so happy with big government. That is a lie, a big, huge, humongous lie. That is not true. It may be that the people that are not happy with the government, they stay silent. because everybody that is on television, everybody that is in the universities, everybody that is in newspapers, everybody is pro big government, because, you know, free market voices,
that's how it is here,
they
too.
Are not heard. Yeah, that is the problem. They have occupied every space in the political discourse. And
right
now, we have to go to guerrilla tactics. So we have to go back to basics. Okay, I did. I'm an international politics major. So I have studied economics, and I have studied law and stuff. But if I had to learn about the economy, about free market, from what I had been taught in college, that would be completely different, because I had a book by Stiglitz, which is the other guy who, with the Krugman, is always asking for more government intervention, more money, and more debt. I just threw away that book. I just studied it in order to pass my exam, and then I threw it away, because that was a complete lie. It was lies over lies over lies, and you have to talk them. I talked with my university professor, because he wanted me to explain how government intervention is positive. And I said, well, that is an opinion. He said, there are so many other people, just like, you know, von Hayek or von Mises and Schumpeter and all the Austrian School of Economics, they're saying something that is completely different. So this is your opinion, but it's not the truth. And he was trying to sell it as, the Ten Commandments. This was, this is an immutable law of nature that government intervention is good. I said, that is your opinion. It's not the truth, because there are some other people who explain things differently. But, you know, it's really hard, because you have to stand up. And not everybody is, has the guts to just stand up and say, I don't care if you give me a C. I don't care. You give me a C, I don't care. I will get 4 A's in other courses. I don't mind. But I'm willing to stand up for the truth. And it takes guts. And it takes, a moral foundation. That is another part of the problem not many people have, because they have been taught that they can get away with everything. I mean, I was here in London when the whole riots started, and I was kind of afraid, because in my neighborhood, nothing happened. Luckily, thank the Lord, nothing really happened. But, I had people calling me from Italy, and they were saying, oh, my God, it's so scary. It's madness. They are destroying everything. Are you safe? And I said, well, of course, London is a pretty big city, so even if there were a couple of neighborhoods destroyed, devastated, it's pretty big. It's just like, Los Angeles. So if something happened in Santa Barbara and you stayed at the other side of the city, you can't really feel a thing. So, but I was seeing that, and I was seeing that those kind of people, they did not have any cause to cause all this problem. They did not care. They just said, oh, well, I know, it's summer, school is out, we have nothing to do. Why don't we go to a shop and smash the windows and take everything we have? I'm entitled to it. This is the problem. They think that they are entitled. They don't want to work for something, because they are, the government, even the UK government, which we think that it's, a little bit better than the one that we have in continental Europe, it's been providing people with free handouts, money, and stuff, like food stamps in America. And so people, they grow up, and their only purpose in life is just to stay alive and collect the government checks and, get drunk, fornicate and have kids out of marriage and so on. So the complete degradation. And then the Brits, they were complaining about them and say, oh, my God, this is scum. These are just lawless people. And I said, well, you reap what you sow. Giving them money. No responsibility. And then you wonder, oh, my God, they are smashing everything. Oh, goody. Yeah, of course they are. They want more, because they are seeing things on television. They want, the new iPhone. They want their iPad. And they say, I'm entitled to it. Because that's good. I want it. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to grab it from someone else. And then you wonder why society is the way it is. This is something that we need to go really, really, really back to basics. So in Europe, we've been having this socialist groupthink. So everybody's thinking the same for the last, 90 years. It's been from 1923, since when the fascists came to government in Italy, that there is this socialist groupthink, and everybody thinks that, oh, the government should have more power and that they will solve everything. And sometimes even the Catholic Church is part of the problem, because they are thinking, yes, the government should help the poor. And you say, well, no. Why? I mean, if I see somebody on the street that is starving, I think it's my responsibility to help him. But if he's a drug addict, I would say, well, brother, I feel your pain, but first you need to clean up. First you need to do something. First you need to show that actually you are willing to work to get rid of this addiction. Then I'm going to help you. But I am going to help you, not the government. This is the problem. There was a study probably in Canada last year. I read it somewhere. And it said that in Canada it's not always the same. It's a federal system pretty much like the U.S. So you have Quebec, where is pretty much a socialist state. Well, instead you have Alberta, which is, you know, Calgary and other stuff, which is pretty much much more free market. And then they were comparing how much people, you know, give to charities in these two things. So you think, the socialist states, so where people are much more compassionate, they're going to give so much more money than the capitalist greedy state. In fact, it was the opposite. The other way around. People in Quebec, they say, well, it's government responsibility. They should think about that. So if they're seeing somebody on the street that is lying there and is, you know, starving, they're thinking, oh, I don't care. The government should do that. And instead, maybe in Alberta, if they have more money available, they will give to charity. But this is the problem. If you give more money to the individual, they will be the one choosing. And so they will say, I don't like Greenpeace because I don't agree with their views of the world and so on. I'm not giving them money. But I'll give them, I don't know, to my local church because I know the pastor. The pastor is a good guy, is a good person, and I know that they're going to make good use of this money. So the individual will be the one decided who gets the money. And this is what politicians and, special interests, they don't want that because they want to be the one in charge. And they want to say, Greenpeace, I like them. I'm going to give them money. But people don't agree with them. But I don't care because I have taken money away from their pockets and I'm going to give them because they're friends of mine. And this is the whole basis. And people do not get it because they have to make a really big effort to step out of this group thing that is clouding their judgment. So this is really, really important. Our battle right now is both cultural and political. And I personally think, and most of my friends probably they will not agree with that, but I think that the cultural and moral battle is even more important than the political one. Even, obviously, the ship is going through the iceberg. We can see the iceberg. So we need to get to the helm and change course immediately. Yeah. Then we'll start worrying about navigation and stuff. But so right now the first thing is cut public spending and give money back to people so that they can make good use of it. This is really first priority. That's why we are not talking a lot about moral issues. And there are some
people that is a moral issue. That is a moral issue.
Yeah,
Luca.
It is. It is also
it is
moral
deeply
issue.
Moral.
But for example, the good thing about Tea Party groups in Italy is that we have people coming from all different walks of life. We have people that are, true blue libertarians. We have real conservatives. We have people who are deeply religious, and we have people who are complete atheists. And we stick together. But sometimes it is really hard because when you find these atheists, that they just go ahead and attack the Catholic Church, and they say, oh, no, the religion is the problem, and we should get rid of religion, blah, 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 and we have to step up and say, guys, no, 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 no squabbling, no squabbling. First things first. First, we need to get our freedom back. Then you can start fighting as much as you want. I don't care. But first, we need to get our freedom back.
That's well, Luca, let me go ahead and say the listeners are going to hear us cut off. They're going to lose us, those that's been listening to us live streaming. But we're going to continue just a little while longer, Luca, since we started late. And it will be available on podcast, www.cityonhill.tv. And Luca, we'd love to ask you to come on once a month at your convenience and try to, you know, keep up with what is happening, what Tea Party groups there in Europe is, you know, doing. But I'd like to also mention, going back, capitalism. You know, Ms. Barbara, I've said it too, you know, trying to look at who is giving. And, of course, you know, they had in the news about our president and our leaders and what they gave, and it's really very disgusting. You know, they talk about, you know, we need to give to the poor. We need, but when you look at what they've given in contrast, it's a shame. They ought to be ashamed.
You little people must give to the poor. No, you little people must give to the poor. I will be the one in charge of the, you know, the public money, so that I will decide who is the poor
guy
who gets the money. This is, it's all about control. They care nothing. Liberals, they're always
like that.
They care about control, never about the poor. So every single time you hear something and they say, we are collecting money to help poor people in Africa, how much of that money you think is going to the poor people in Africa? I think probably 10%, 15%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because the rest is going to pay, you know, the son of my friend who is so clever, and so he needs to be paid $300,000 a year in order to go there and do nothing and blah, blah, blah. It's all about that. They are just swindling us of our money. This is the basic of, you know, the whole fight. We need to get control of our money, our finance, then we will start, you know, rebuilding this society from the ground up.
Capitalism versus socialism. I was reading too, Luca, Ms. Barbara, about how much, you know, the United States, a very capitalistic country, gives to the world. It's really humongous, and it's not our government. It's the little people. It's the little people that give,
Diana,
you know, out of probably very tight pockets.
As I've said so many times before, you know, our nation, the American people, with less than 8% of the world's population, has created over 90% of the world's wealth. Now, that's when we were a capitalist nation. We have been losing that, our free markets and our freedom, more and more as time goes on. But at our height, we did create 90% of the world's wealth. And the American people gave over 80% of benevolent giving. Anytime there was a disaster anywhere in the world, it was the American people, not the government, but the American people that would reach deep into their pockets and give and give and give. So that's the record. That is the record.
And
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Luca. Go ahead.
No. It's just the fact that personal responsibility is so much more prevalent in the United States than it's in anywhere else in the world. That's why the individual in America thinks, yes, it's my responsibility to help people in Somalia that are starving. So I will give some of my money, not a lot. I will give some, but they will give. Instead, in Europe, they will think, yeah, it's the government. Yeah, the government should give money. And obviously they don't, because they have other priorities. This is the fact. So in order to go back to the basic, to the moral society that we think it's necessary in order to have, you know, a peaceful future and to build something that lasts, we need to go back to personal responsibility. That is the basic. Otherwise it will all be pointless.
That's right.
Wow. Well, I was writing last night thinking about this interview, and I mentioned it already about the scripture that says, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And when you go against God's ways and become a culture of death and darkness, you reap what you sow. You can't undo it until you reverse a culture where, again, the blessings, where children are seen as just that, blessings are welcome instead of destroyed. And, you know, just like here in the States, we don't have enough workers now because of that mindset. Therefore, our tax base is decreased. while our welfare state is increased. And add to that the problems with corrupt leaders, you know, choosing ungodly leaders who favor their friends, who leeches off the taxpayer money, communism and all that, we end up with a bankrupt nation, and we see Europe doing the same thing. Italy has their mafia. Unfortunately, some of our unions act like mafias. Men are sinful, and the only cure is what the founders saw as an acknowledgement of the ways of that one true God. You know, it's just really amazing, and I'm hearing in the news about a federated Europe. We've got to choose one leader, and that does not sound good. I think we've already seen what's happening here when so much power is given to one man. And, you know, I don't know when we'll get out of where we're at, Ms. Barbara. It's going to be very difficult. Obama has already decimated the Medicare system. He's decimating Social Security. And yet, he acts like he cares for the people when that is unfortunately true. So, anyway, I thank God for what y'all are doing there, Luca. It is important to acknowledge the beginning, and that's where America also has faltered. Right, Ms. Barbara? We have gotten away
from
that beginning.
That's right, and we're having to really, really go back and redig the wells of our fathers and discover once again what they knew and what they established us upon. The very reason that we've had all the freedom and enjoyed all the opportunity and prosperity that we have enjoyed was that foundation of truth and the respect for life, liberty, and property.
Yeah, but that is why America is so blessed right now, because you can always go back to the bedrock of wisdom that is the American Constitution. We have nothing of the sort in Europe. For example, you were talking about private property, how the whole concept is based in the scripture and it's also based on the Constitution. Well, in the Italian Constitution, it says something slightly different, just like saying private property is allowed as long as it doesn't go against the public good. So it's pretty much like saying, you have a house, but if the government thinks that it's better for someone else to have the house, it can come and take it away from you. So this is why we, in America, you always go back to the Constitution, because it was, I don't know, a special moment of through clarity, a blessing. I don't know, God was really working overtime that time when
yes.
they were discussing the Constitution, because actually he made, he made them so inspired and gave them really the blessing to just make really the most important political document in the history of mankind. There is no doubt about it. In Europe, we have to go against the Constitution. Sometimes I say the Italian Constitution was built after the war, where the whole country was in ruins, and it was really a socialist constitution in disguise, very, very thinly disguised. So if you in America, the Tea Party can always go back to the Constitution, the European Tea Party, they have to go against the Constitution. They have to, you know, to say we have to get rid of this Constitution, because it's not possible when you say that private property is allowed. By whom? By the government? Really? So this is really, really the basic of the problem. We have no concept of religion. When they were making the so-called European Constitution, they wanted to acknowledge that the basic of European culture is, you know, Judeo-Christian morality and Judeo-Christian teachings. They were against it. They said, no, there is no such thing. So Europe is a godless society. We are proud of it. And I was looking at them and saying, yeah, and then you wonder why the whole continent is falling to pieces. Well, if you deny the existence of God, if you deny his work on earth, then, well, of course, you reap what you sow. As you said, we need to go back to basics. That is really the most important thing. And that's why I really would like to just ask. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add, Luca, that really you have it too, because I like what Judge Roy Moore, who in Alabama, really, it was like a parting of the waves, Luca. You know, we have the Constitution. We know about the Ten Commandments, but here in Alabama, He made us really look at ourselves in the mirror, at what do we really have. And I remember him saying, Miss Barbara, that the basis is really God's Word, and that's for everyone. I know you don't have that constitution like we have, but we thank God that God's Word is for everyone. And it's, you know, I hear it in your voice, Luca. I hear it in your voice. You know how to love your brother. You know how to care for your brother, and you want to do that. And I think that's one of the reasons you're speaking out. You're seeing an awful lot of people hurting and a lot of people blind. They don't know where to go. But as we always like to do here, we're almost at the end of the show, we're going to give it to God in prayer. And we just, you know, we like that picture of George Washington at Valley Forge when everything looked hopeless and you could see the footsteps of the soldiers because it was red in blood on that white snow. And, you know, he bent, I mean, he knew the power of praying to God. And you do too, I believe. And so we're going to give it to God in prayer. But first of all, I'd like to ask Ms. Barbara some closing thoughts, and you too, Luca, some more closing thoughts.
Diana, I appreciate those remarks so much, and that's exactly what I was thinking. The basis of our Constitution that we return to is the Bible itself, is God's Word. And the men, the 55 men at that Constitutional Convention in 1787, were all well-versed in Scripture, and they had a biblical worldview. And the plan of government that they put together, is they didn't list the books, the chapters, and the verses of the Bible that they were pulling from, but absolutely everything in those seven articles of the Constitution is based upon truths that God revealed in His Word. So, yes, you do have the original Constitution. You have the Bible, which God's Constitution. It is a written Constitution. He wrote it down. And so you do have it, and I'm so grateful for that. And that it's either going to be man's standard or God's standard, one or the other. And that's what we're trying to share with people here in our country, that we've got to go back to God's standard, and we're trying to connect the dots and help everyone to see that truly our freedom is based upon those principles of freedom that God revealed to us in His Word. So so you have it too. And I think that's going to, you know, be the basis from which you're going to be able to go from there. Diana?
And look, I'd just like to add, Ms. Barbara, you know how the Bible says that He can make your enemies your friends? You know, it's just really amazing what it says in God's Word. So I know things look upside down now, Luca, but, you know, there is hope. And I just hear it in y'all's voice, and the fact that you, God has even stirred y'all up to do something new for your countries.
Yeah.
Luca, do we still have you?
Yep, sure. I'm still here.
Okay.
So,
and we're going to pray for you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to need every prayer of all the good people all around the world, because the situation is getting worse, much worse. And so if I may have the audacity to add something to the listener of this wonderful show, I may ask them, if you have somebody you know that is of Italian descent and still has got relatives back in the old country, please tell them that there is hope, so that they should log in to teapartyitalia.it and just contact us, because we have, you know, this mission to have. We need to get in touch with as many people as possible, because if we have to rely on the media to just get out the message, we will never get anywhere. So we need all the good people that are listening to just go there. If you know somebody that has an Italian surname, probably he has got relatives back in the whole country where he still speaks to them. So please just do us this favor. It will be more important than you think, because right now it's really hard to say, but we need numbers. We need to grow a lot, because if we don't have numbers, things will never change. So I will really thank you for this opportunity and for this wonderful conversation. And may God bless you all.
Okay,
and
hang
may
on.
God continue to bless the United States of America.
Thank you, Luca, but hang on, and we'll be on together until we close. Diana, you want me to go ahead?
If you don't mind, Miss Barbara.
I would love to. You know, the only other thing I was thinking about was, you know, the Bible is international. You know, Spain has a different constitution from Italy and France and England, but all of those European countries do have the Bible, whether Protestant or Catholic. You know, the founding fathers were both Protestant and Catholic, those that put this wonderful plan of government together, the U.S. Constitution. But the Bible was the basis of all of them, both Protestant and Catholic. So throughout Europe, you still do have that that written constitution of the Bible. But let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful. We are so grateful for this time that you have given us, Lord. What a blessing that this has been to hear Luca and the wisdom that has been coming out of his mouth, Father, out of his heart, out of his mind. God, I believe you raised him up for this hour, this hour of need, not only in his country, but throughout the world. And, Father, we ask, oh God, your blessing upon him, Father, that you would continue to teach him and give him that spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of you and your word, and teach him, Father. Your word says that you will give the Holy Spirit as our teacher, and we pray that, Father, for ourselves. And we pray, Father, that you will enlarge his territory, Lord, that he will have access to more and more people to share the truth that he has been learning. And, Father, that you will enlarge his tent, that you will really, really give him increase, O God. And also, Father, that you would just bless him with yourself, Father, your presence in a special way, Father. And you are the greatest gift that we can know, Lord God. And we pray your presence in an increasing way, Father, in our lives, O God. And we thank you. We pray for those, Father, who are hurting in Europe, Father, in our country, those who cannot find work, those who, Father, don't understand. They don't have any understanding about what's going on. They just know that they're in some hard times. And we pray for them, Father. We lift them up. And we pray, Father, that you will make a way for them, Lord, and that they will hear truth and respond to truth rightly, Lord, and respond to you, because you desire to bless and to give and to teach and to support and to help in every way, Father, your people who you created in your own image and likeness. We thank you, Father. We ask your blessing, your favor, O God, and your protection for Luca as he speaks truth, and all those, Father, involved in the Tea Party, Italia and the International Tea Party, Father, as they're speaking truth, Father, we pray your divine protection upon them, O God, and your favor. And, Father, let them continue to raise their voice and give that clear, clear call of the trumpet, Father, a certain sound, Father, that others can hear and respond to and gather around, Lord. And we pray this in the precious and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much, Luca.
Amen. You're very much welcome.
Barbara, I'd like to add.
And those were really, really wonderful words, by the way. Thank you so much, Miss Barbara, for them. Because, yeah, you were really inspired. So it was really a privilege to be here and listening to them. Thank you so much.
Well, Luca, I'm sorry. I'd like to add a small prayer to that, if I may, Miss Barbara.
Sure.
God led me to Amos chapter 7, and it's where twice Amos was shown a vision of impending punishment, but his immediate response was to pray that God would spare. And prayer, it's a powerful privilege, so I want to just pray for them again. And Lord, we just thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth. You are the creator of everything. Lord, you own the cattle. The thousand cattle on a hill, Lord. Heavenly Father, you own all the money of the world, all the resources, Lord. And I pray that you would move in the hearts of all those who have Italian heritage, Lord, as Luca was asking, that, Lord, that they would join, that they would go, Lord, to that website, Heavenly Father, that they would come along and partner with them, Lord, in bringing up this nation back, Lord, and they will give you glory and honor, Lord, I know. I thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Bless David Mazzarelli, Lord, for all the work that he and everyone in this Tea Party Italy is doing, and all the other tea parties, Lord, that are trying to rise up, Lord, and bring the people back, Lord, to the right foundation. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege of giving it to you in prayer, because you are such a loving God, Lord. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Diane.
Well, God bless you, Luca. We will have to have you back on. I'm sorry about the Skype, but maybe I can know what
not
to do
problem.
Next time.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. Not a problem. We managed to get the message across. That is the important thing. As long as people are listening, everything is fine. Sound quality, doesn't really matter.
Well, we'll try to have you on next month, and really, if this is a good time for you, like the second Friday of the month, Luca, we'd love to have you on the second Friday of October.
Yeah, well, okay, it's a day.
Okay, well, look at your schedule,
okay.
And we'll see. Okay, God bless you. And again, that website for Luca is teapartyitalia.it. Thank you, listeners, for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. We hope that you will join us again next week. We've got some amazing guests, as usual, especially on Wednesday. We've got, oh my goodness, on the 21st, we've got Daniel Scheste, who was a former leader of Hezbollah that ousted the Shah of Iran. And if you can join us, look, listening, he's going to talk about Iran. He's going to talk about also about King Cyrus and Darius, remind us of that history. Thank you, listeners. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone.